الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. لا يستوي أصحاب النار وأصحاب الجنة، أصحاب الجنة هم الفائزون. لو أنزلنا هذا القرآن على جبل لرأيته خاشعا متصدعا من خشية الله، وتلك الأمثال نضربها للناس لعلهم يتفكرون. هو الله الذي لا إله إلا هو، عالم الغيب والشهادة، هو الرحمن الرحيم. هو الله الذي لا إله إلا هو، الملك القدوس السلام المؤمن المهيمن العزيز الجبار المتكبر، سبحان الله عما يشركون. هو الله الخالق البارئ المصور له الأسماء الحسنى، يسبح له ما في السماوات والأرض، وهو العزيز الحكيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قل هو الله أحد، الله الصمد، لم يلد ولم يولد، ولم يكن له كفوا أحد. صدق الله العظيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. As we grow up and we learn language and we go to school and we follow the direction of our parents to become good citizens, we are set off on a treasure hunt that makes it appear as if that which is most precious in life is on the other side of the rainbow. That which we aspire to, a sense of fundamental contentment and happiness, a sense of deep security, is only to be found after the achievement of great importance and of much endeavor and work and sweat and toil in this world. The promise that is held out to you is: be dutiful, be good, make sure that you make the world around you a better place and you look after those who are in your care, and you will be happy. What goes with this an implied sort of message in this this kind of belief is that a happy world for everybody is to be achieved. We can strive to create peace in the world, a cessation of hostility, a cessation of brutality, a cessation of oppression. That there is a happy place that is a functioning society where there is no injustice. And in the modern world, we've really bought deeply into that illusion. and we get people mobilized behind peculiar objectives such as democracy, liberation, freedom. Further to this, we think that if we work very hard, it's possible to achieve this utopian state of democracy and freedom, where we will all be secure and we will all be contented. What they don't tell you is the thing that they're pointing at is to be found in the opposite direction. What I'm suggesting is that this experience of security and contentment is not to be found over there, on the other side, beyond the horizon, in this new Jerusalem of a new world. It is to be found over here, in the most intimate over here, in your own inner being. In order to find that place, the security and contentment that we're looking for, we therefore have to start cultivating a different kind of skill and a different kind of capacity, which is not a skill of doing things well, and it's not a skill of achieving things in the world and having successful enterprise and successful endeavor and in successful business, successful families, successful organizations, schools, societies. It's not about work over there at all. There is work that you can do on the inside. And what do I mean by the inside? Everything that you experience and perceive is somehow placed on an over there, outside. If you start going to where your attention is coming from, if you start withdrawing a little bit of your attention into your inner being, you start getting a taste of quietness, which you realize, first of all, has no bottom. It is a depth that has no bottom. And also that you can go deeper and deeper in this inner experience. And that the deeper you go in this inner experience, the more you actually do have this experience of security and contentment. And what's interesting about the sense of security and contentment is that it cannot be taken away from you, because it's not conditional. It's not based on some condition in the world being met. If you say, I will only be happy once I'm married, that means clearly, until that status of the marriage is contracted, you will not be happy. If you say, I'll only be happy once I have a pension, or once I have a good salary, or once I have a good job, it means that the happiness will not be there until you get that condition. The sad thing is that once you get the condition, the same miserable person that was miserable without that happy without that condition is now miserable with it. You must have had this experience in your life. Probably for many of us who've written a final examination at school, like a matric exam, you can remember that before you finish this exam, it's like your life will only happen at on the other side of this. And you have to work very hard, and you really have to suffer, and then your life can start. So you write your final exam, And maybe you have a little bit of euphoria for a couple of days afterwards. But at some point, you wake up one morning, you realize you're just as miserable as what you were 10 weeks before your exam. The same person has woken up after the exam as what went to sleep before the exam. So other than a temporary high, we know that there's an illusion about this idea that you can get some condition that's going to make you happy. What happens when you get the condition that you think is going to make you happy is that you just replace one set of problems for another set of problems. Okay, now you've got the wife, but she happens to be an awful person who shouts at you every day and makes your life miserable, is suspicious, doesn't trust you. You walk out the door and she's phoning you everywhere. Where are you now? Where are you now? And then you start wondering, wow, you know, maybe I shouldn't have married. Oh, I'll be so happy once I get my business to work. And you get your business to work, and it's successful, and more opportunities come because of the success, and suddenly you're in a business that's five times as complex as it was when you started, and you can no longer run it, and you feel completely overwhelmed. To think that your happiness is going to be produced by achieving something on the other side over there in the future is naive. You're looking over a wall for the garden that you're standing in. Inner work is about two things. Inner work is, first of all, about learning to shift your judgment and your description of the world around you from one of resentment to gratitude. That's the little work. We call that work the shifting of your intent. Because when you shift your intent from a sense of resentment of what's been done to you to a sense of gratitude, you also shift your behavior in the world from a one who's yet to take to one who's yet to give. And you thus make peace with your world. Because the one who's yet to take is at war with his world. The one who's yet to give is at peace with his world. But the second kind of work that we need to do, inner work, is to start spending some time behind our eyes to investigate where we actually operate from. This being that is looking through your eyes out at the world, the world out there looks very bright. When you start taking your attention, allow your attention to sink behind your eyes and start feeling the back of your being. You become increasingly secure and you become increasingly fulfilled. It is because that experience is always there, because that experience is the closeness of the Rabb. And he said to us, he's closer to us than our jugular vein. Allah is the source of security. Allah is the source of contentment. He's not to be found in the world. He's to be found on the inside. When you do all your salah like this, all your dhikr like this, all your practice like this, with a deliberate attempt to reserve some of your attention to what's happening behind your eyes, the experience of your inner realm, you will start to find that at this depth where your attention comes from, where you're looking from, at the very bottom, there's a luminous well, a deep luminous well of bliss, of ecstasy, of contentment, and of deep security, which is always there. You've just hidden it because you're looking in the wrong place. The deeper you go in yourself, the closer you get to that radiance. The closer you get to that radiance, the more you start to experience a bliss, a security, a delight and fulfillment and a contentment which is unconditional. It is not dependent on anything outside of you. It is just there. Now, amazingly, the more you start to allow yourself to have that experience of that depth, the more your being is experienced as a blessing to the people and the world around you. Fundamentally, because you're just pleasant to be with. People seek you out. And then the other things that you would want in your life, which is a sense of connectedness with other people, a sense of influence and of power, a sense of harmony with the world around you. These things come out in the wash. Because you're the kind of being which the world wants to befriend. Why does the world want to befriend you? Because you don't want anything. There's nobody more pleasant to be with than somebody who's just delighted to be alive and isn't trying to get something out of you. People will seek you out. May Allah grant us nearness to Him. May He grant us annihilation in Him. May He grant us death before we die. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد عبدك ورسولك نبينا وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون والسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين. That's good enough, gentle. Who's calling the other one?